ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 41। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज परशुराम द लॉर्ड्स वॉरियर इनकार्नेशन। राज्ञो मुर्ग्यो मूर्धाभिषिक्तस्य वदो ब्रह्म वधाद् गुरुः तीर्थ संसेवया चाम्हो जय अंगाच्युत चेतनः राज्ञो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पल बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। My dear son, killing a king who is an emperor is more severely sinful than killing a brahmana. But now, if you become Krishna conscious and worship the holy places, you can atone for this great sin. Purport. One who fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is freed from all sins. Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Moksha Ishami Mas. From the very day of moment he fully surrenders to Sri Krishna, even the most sinful person is freed. Nonetheless, as an example, Jamadagni advised his son Parshuram to worship the holy places. Because an ordinary person cannot immediately surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is advised to go from holy place to another to find saintly persons and thus gradually be released from sinful reactions. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Parshuram, the Lord's Warrior Incarnation. Oh, Hare Krishna. So, Parshuram has already destroyed Jamadagni, the great Hayaya king. And when he comes back and informs his father, Jamadagni Maharshi. Now, Jamadagni does not congratulate him for taking revenge. Rather, he says, it is more severe killing a Kshatriya king than killing a Brahmana. More than Brahmahatya, the Hatya of the king is more severe. Therefore, you need to atone. Now, here atonement of Parshuram doesn't require because he is the Supreme Lord. Whether he is Shaktavish or Vishnu Tattva, it doesn't matter. Anyone who is powerful, Shastras explain that someone who is very powerful, there is no fault in them. But still he is advised that you go and rectify your sinful activities. Rectifying sinful activity is not escaping. One does not take shelter of Krishna to escape what one has done. Otherwise it becomes namaparad. That I do something so that by chanting Hare Krishna I can save myself. So that escape mentality is there, that is not Krishna consciousness. That falls into the category of karmakand. In karmakand, through certain ritualistic process, one can overcome whatever one has done. But bhakti, in bhakti, more than the ingredients, more than our senses, what we offer is our heart. Therefore, prayaschitta, the word praya means before, chitta means heart. Prayaschitta means the heart which was originally in touch with God. When we are connected to Krishna as the servant, as a sevak, then one is blissfully serving the Lord. Anything less than that is sinful. So therefore here, Parshuram has been advised by his father, he should go to the holy place. Because going to holy place, as we discussed, it is not about escaping. If we study carefully the Srimad Bhagavatam, that however great personality one is, Parikshit Maharaj for that matter, when he plays that snake in the neck of Shamik Rishi, when he started walking, the first thing is that he became aware of his sin. Being aware that I made a mistake. So he said, oh, how could I do this? He became aware. And when we are aware, then we anticipate reaction. Parikshit Maharaj anticipated that something is going to happen now. That something is going to happen, and then he expected that let whatever is supposed to happen, let it happen now. Let my kingdom, let my family, let my health, let my lifespan be destroyed. Because how can I behave like this? He did not say, after all, I'm a great devotee of the Lord. After all, I'm connected to Vishnu. Therefore, whatever reaction comes, Vishnu will tell me, Vishnu will help me to overcome it. That means there is no repentance. Here, awareness was there. I made a mistake. How can I do this? Then there was anticipation. Expecting, okay, this is going to happen, this should happen. And when the message was brought to Parikshit Maharaj that you're going to die within 7 days, he accepted it. Yes, I'm ready for it. And then he experienced also, the snake came and the snake bit him. Before that, of course, he had heard the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. And in this way, a devotee escapes. Escapism is not the principal factor. One who does not understand the principle of Krishna consciousness very clearly, he might come to Krishna to escape in the first place. But the escape doesn't happen. Rather, the reaction do come. When the reaction come, one may say, how can reaction come? After all, I have taken shelter of Krishna. No, one takes shelter of Krishna just like in the story of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when that Gopal Chakravarti, when he offended Shivas Thakur by placing certain black magic items outside his home and blaspheming him everywhere, he contracted the, severe leprosy, and he was suffering. So when Mahaprabhu was walking by him, he was praying, please release me from this. So rather than repenting, he was actually wanted to escape the pain. Mahaprabhu said, no, you suffer millions of lifetime. Because the mentality was not to accept that I made a mistake, rather, how will I escape this pain? And that does not fall into the category of bhakti. Only when his heart changed, he realized, I made a mistake against the Vaishnava. I have done Vaishnava Aparadha. And then when he again approached Mahaprabhu, then because the heart was changed, the repentance was there, I made a mistake was there, therefore immediately was released. And therefore Prabhupada explains that repentance itself, the sincere repentance that I made this mistake, washes off, it cleanses all of our sinful activity. But how do we develop that repentant heart? One cannot develop that repentant heart unless one's constitutional position is realized. And then continuously for the rest of his life, as long as he stays in the material world, like Brahmaji prayed, Tattenu Kampa Susamikshamana Bhunjana Ivatma. Bhunjan means he goes through that. In fact, he is surprised, he is shocked. How could I not practice devotional service? How could I not serve Krishna? You see, any stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed by Parvati, apparently looks like Prabhupada is writing conflicting purports. No, he's not writing conflicting purports, but he's presenting different perspective. One perspective is the perspective of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is a commentator, seeing the entire story from what exactly happened. When you analyze what exactly happened, because the event has already happened, therefore you can have entire, perspective properly. But when you see from another perspective and the event is happening, there is a different perspective. So one or two purports he writes after the event has happened. What does Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur say? The entire incident was to arrange Chitraketu Maharaj to go back immediately to the spiritual world, rather than, he was so fortunate. Prabhupada explains his fortune was he was able to enjoy sense gratification. He was in the midst of most beautiful women, but at the same time he was able to remember Krishna also. People might aspire for this kind of benediction, but mostly don't get. Even after having such a benediction,
according to Thakur Vishnu Chakravarti, that still Lord wanted to take him back. Therefore he organized this entire event of Chitraketu Maharaj speaking whatever he spoke, and Parvati being inspired by the Lord to speak the curse so that he gets out of the material existence, even though he was fully Krishna conscious. But if you see from the perspective of Parvati, which Prabhupada also writes in the purport, that it was arrogance on the part of Chitraketu Maharaj. He should have not done like that. And however great one is, one cannot get away from reactions. Now, he is discussing from the happening point of view. Therefore, whether one is pure devotee or not, when the event is taking place, a devotee doesn't feel, it's not that a pure devotee says, okay, I'm part of the Krishna's pastime, I put the snake in the neck of Shamikrishi, so that the curse is going to come because I'll be the instrument in Sukadeva Goswami speaking the Bhagavatam. After all, I'm a great devotee. Then the entire understanding of bhakti is defeated. Where do you see the heart of Parikshit Maharaj? If this is the exact reality for Parikshit Maharaj, then Bhagavatam does not become beautiful. The exact reality for Parikshit Maharaj is that I did miss. I made this criminal activity. How could I do this? How can I do this? I am not a devotee at all. I am so fallen. So therefore, it is very interesting to know that when someone comes, I heard a story that one terrorist, he murdered the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka. And after murdering him, he was a Buddhist monk. He murdered. Then according to Buddhist philosophy that you have to suffer for whatever you do, they don't believe in reincarnation, but they believe in karma. Very contradictory. How can you believe in karma if you don't believe in reincarnation? Then who comes to experience reaction? Even though the atheistic philosophy, but still the principle of karma is there. That they can't avoid. So some Christian priest came to him. They said, look, if you believe in Buddhist philosophy, there will be reaction. But if you believe in Jesus, there will be no reaction. Just take shelter of Jesus. So at the time of execution, when he was about to be executed, he converted himself to Christianity. So that there will be no reaction. Will it work like that? No, it is not about changing religion to escape reaction. Unless there is a complete repentance. Heart is not burning because of repentance. Then the repentance will not happen. Taking shelter of Vishnu is important. But why do you take shelter of Vishnu? Therefore here Jamadagni is telling Parshuram. In fact, in the future chapters, Prabhupada explains whether one is Jamadagni, whether one is Parshuram, whether one is Renuka, one cannot avoid reaction. He talked about in the third cant also, when Vidura came as, Yamaraj came as Vidura, in that context Prabhupada writes that even someone like that makes a mistake, just like how Vidura was cursed to become a Shudra. Similarly, even someone is in the bigger position, he wrote one letter to some of the GBCs saying that if you act improperly, then you'll have to be Shudra like Vidura. So the basic concept of Vedic philosophy, the Vedanta philosophy, is that the karma is there. How do you make it transcendental by Krishna consciousness? That is a different subject matter. But you cannot avoid. And one should not avoid reaction. One try to avoid reaction, escape reaction, then we don't grow. There is no question of growing. Therefore we see here, Parshuram is so powerful. He is the incarnation of the Lord. It is not that karma affects the incarnation of the Lord. It is not that a pure devotee is affected by reaction. Karmani nirdhati kintucha bhakti bhajam. The principle of devotional service is so powerful that anyone who executes devotional service, there is no reaction. But by practicing devotional service, a devotee, when he looks back his previous life before becoming a devotee, he repents. He never forgets. He is not overconscious or overconfident of his devotional service. Rather, confidence in bhakti makes him feel, I am so fallen. How could I behave like this? that causes great surprise to him, that how is that I am not able to serve Krishna? Therefore, Brahmaji is saying that Bhunjanevatma, continuously, you know, repenting, regretting, rectifying, reconciling. What does he do? He goes through whatever is supposed to come in his life and fully taking shelter of Krishna, not hoping that I need to escape it. The entire the human society, you know, we see the mostly we try to, if there is a law, we don't want to practice the law. We don't want to follow the law. We don't want to transcend the law, but we want to find an escape route from the law. How do you transcend the law? By submitting to the law. But here, the tendency of the human being, the conditioned soul is that the law is there, but I need something so that I can escape the law. To put something, okay, this is, if somebody is coming to the through the security gate, what is our tendency that the security should recognize? I'm a regular devotee here. I'm some important person. So how do I transcend the law? By submitting to the law. But submitting to the law is what? If I submit to the law, that means I'm being subordinate. And I don't want to be subordinate. The natural, the conditional tendency of the living entity is not to submit, to defy the law, or to find an escape route. No, I know, okay, this lawmaker is much more powerful than me. If I confront him, then I can't confront him. So find some loophole through which I can avoid. So similarly, many process or when people present the concept of spirituality of religion, it is presented in such a way that you do something wrong, but find a loophole to avoid it. And that does not purify our heart. We are not purified this. But if we submit to the law, the general law for the devotee and non-devotee, karma is there for everybody. But if I submit to the principle of karma, then I transcend. And that's what Brahmaji is speaking the sutra. That bhunjana evatma, folding my hands, when whatever suffering comes to my life, if I fold my hands, taking shelter of Vishnu, then only such person becomes dayabhak. He becomes the recipient of the inheriting the spiritual realm. Therefore, repenting. Our Jayadeva Maharaj in one essay wrote, you know, one should first recognize. What do we recognize? That when we become a devotee of the Lord, we recognize, my God, I was so sinful. I was so sinful. And sometime after becoming devotees also, we speak about our sinful activities as if it is the great adventurous. Still that lingering is there. Oh, I did this, I did that, I used to do these things. There is no regret. We recognize, but that recognition is kind of, you know, this is what I used to do. I used to sit in a pub, drink so much of wine. And everybody would be knocked down, but I would not be knocked down. That means awareness is there, but still repentance is not there. So recognize that I have done this. And if I recognize how obnoxious what I did, and then what happens? It naturally leads to a repentance, continuous repentance. He says 4 hours. There is continuous repentance. How could I do this? What to speak of drinking? What to speak of smoking? What to speak of eating cow's flesh? Even though he might be eating pure sattvic food, because it was not offered to Krishna, it was as bad as anything else. So therefore there is a continual repentance. And that repentance led to active rectification. Because he fears, I might go back to that kind of life. If I was in the spiritual world, I came back, what to speak of being in the material world and trying to practice devotional service. So he's continuously recognizing that I am far away from Krishna. Fear that I might again go back to materialistic civilization, materialistic activity. So more than being thinking that I am a devotee of Krishna, he is more worried about I might fall in Maya. When there is an overconfidence of being a devotee, then we take it for granted. When we take it for granted, then we commit offenses. Like in the Bhagavatam, we see the four Kumaras when they came to the spiritual world. Of course, this is a pastime, no doubt, but still there is a lesson to learn. Bhagavatam teaches two things. One is to be absorbed in the Leela, and second is to observe. Oh, how can I not do this? Four Kumaras, when they came to the spiritual world, Jai Vijay. Now, usually the story is so beautiful, but when you bring out the technicalities in the story, oh, actually they were not, you know, sometime the explanation is there. The Acharyas have given explanation. Viraraghava Acharya gives the explanation. He talks about different kinds of Vaikuntha planets. So, but, you know, when you go through the story, what is the story? That Jai Vijay were in the Vaikuntha world. And being in the Vaikuntha world, when four Kumaras came, they offended four Kumaras. They in fact behaved arrogantly with the four Kumaras. And Lord Vishnu, when he came out, he was quite clear. He said it was expected. Lakshmi predicted their fall down. Therefore, I approve your curse to Jai Vijay. No, when we study the story like this only, then you enjoy the story and learn something out of it. But you bring the technicalities, no, actually they are not in the spiritual world. One cannot offend in the spiritual world. No, that is not the point. The point is, how much are you aware of making a mistake? A devotee of the Lord is not confident that material world is a safe place once you become a devotee. Material world is material world. He knows the philosophy that it is a safe if you practice devotional service, but he's always extremely cautious of not going back to the materialist activities. Therefore, he's always thinking, I am not a devotee. Others say that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, Chitraketu Maharaj, it was all the arrangement of the Lord. But if you ask Chitraketu Maharaj, if you have the chance to ask him, what would he say? He would say, just see, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is proving that whatever I did was all the part of the pastime. If you get to ask Parikshit Maharaj, he said, absolutely not. What I did was absolutely wrong. To the extent we see the sensitivity here, Shamik Rishi also, when he sent his message through one of his Brahmana student, that he go and convey this message to Parikshit, that my son has cursed him that he will die within 7 days. When the message was conveyed to Parikshit Maharaj, the question is raised, why Parikshit Maharaj did not go back to Shamik Rishi and beg forgiveness? It's a common etiquette. It's a common sense that he should go back and, you know, beg forgiveness. Even when we step over somebody, you know, as a culture, we go and beg forgiveness. But here Parikshit Maharaj did such an activity. And he was regretting, he was repenting, he was expecting punishment. But when the punishment came to him, he did not go back to Shamik Rishi to beg forgiveness. And Prabhupada writes, why he did not go? Because Shamik Rishi was already feeling very guilty that my son did this. He committed this sin of cursing Parikshit Maharaj. Therefore, he could not send his own son or himself coming and conveying this message. He was feeling very embarrassed. So Parikshit Maharaj did not want to put Shamik Rishi into more embarrassing situation. Oh, you know, I made this mistake, please forgive me. No, you did not make a mistake. From Shamik Rishi's point of view, Parikshit Maharaj did not make mistake. And from Parikshit Maharaj's point of view, I made a great mistake. So what is the reality? Therefore, our Shastras, they are not presented from a historical perspective. Because history is very flat. History, you know, tells the story from right, wrong, one, you know, same flat explanation. But in the spiritual realm, the same incident can be seen from so many different perspectives by different people. Therefore, it is not conflicting. When I read first time the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, it was sounding, why Prabhupada is contradicting? One place he says, you know, Parikshit, Chitraketu Maharaj was, should not have done like this. In other places, actually, he did not offend. No, it is not contradiction, because their life is talking from Chitraketu Maharaj's perspective, he is speaking from Parvati's perspective, and both perspective are very right. What Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is writing, that is also right. What Parikshit is speaking, that is also right. Just like in the Ramayana, we read Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada explains, anger can be used in the service of the Lord. And what example he gives? The example of Arjuna and Hanumanji. Hanumanji burned the entire Lanka. But if you read Ramayana, what does Hanumanji say for his anger? He condemns the principle of anger. He said, because I became angry, I burned the entire Lanka, I think I made a greatest damage. The very purpose for which I came here is what? To look for Mother Sita, to rescue Mother Sita, to get the message of Mother Sita's survival to Lord Ram. But by burning Lanka, by being angry, what has happened? I think I must have burned Mother Sita also. And he condemns anger. Now can you say, just see, now Prabhupada made a mistake here, is glorifying anger, but Hanumanji is condemning anger. So who is right? No, both are right. Because Hanumanji was the person involved in the act, and Prabhupada is the observer of the act after the event is done. Same thing Arjuna also. When Arjuna is fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know, when he was fighting, Krishna had to induce the principle of Arjuna, you have to fight. And when Arjuna fought, how many times Arjuna was not willing to fight? When his son was dead, Arjuna condemned the entire profession of Kshatriyas. Hell with Kshatriya profession. It is not that Kshatriya profession is condemned entirely by Arjuna. As he himself involved in the battle, he is condemning that because of my materialistic, selfish tendencies, I am responsible for the death of millions of people. But what is the observation of pure devotee like Prabhupada? He says, no. He used the anger in the service of the Lord. So what Arjuna is saying is right from the point of view of Arjuna, and what Prabhupada is saying right from the his point of view. They are not contradictory. So therefore, when I am involved as a practicing devotee, I cannot apply what Prabhupada says about Arjuna and Hanuman to my life when I become angry. What is that anger? That anger is nothing but unfulfilled lust. It is not transcendental. Just see how big difference is there. If I have a false understanding that my anger is transcendental, because that's what Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, becoming angry is as good as pure devotional service. No. That is not pure devotional service. Actually, anger, whenever lust is not fulfilled, therefore anger is called as kamanuja. Unfulfilled lust turns into anger. So just see the difference, the world of difference. One is pure devotional service. But if I say I am, you know, doing the same thing, it is not pure devotional service. Therefore here, as Prabhupada explains, that to set an example. But he is not thinking that he is setting an example. He is thinking, actually I am responsible. Same thing happened with Balramji also. When Balramji, you know, instantly he killed Romaharshana Suta. If you study, when a katakar, when a speaker is giving a talk, whoever comes, he doesn't have to get up and respect that other personality. Because when he gets up, he is offending Vasudev, technically. Now he is representing Vasudev, and nobody can be greater than Vasudev. Therefore, when you speak Harikatha, you continue speaking Harikatha. Just like we discussed this when Ramanujacharya was doing Harikatha, and the procession of the Lord came, Ranganath's procession. And I think it was Marana or Nambi or another devotee. When the procession of the Lord came, you know, the procession kind of disturbed the Harikatha. Everybody got distracted. It's like when the curtain gets closed, when the pujari rings the bell, naturally you get distracted. So when the procession came and disturbed the Harikatha, the servant of Ramanuja said, here comes the disturbance. He said, here comes the disturbance. Because Harikatha is going on. So from that technical point of view, what Balramji did was not right. But there is something higher also, more than technicalities. If he gets up and offers respect, there is no harm. He should have done that, but he did not do. So therefore, Balramji immediately destroyed him. But when the sages told him, no, come on, you cannot do like this. You have to repent. The Supreme Lord, and especially Balramji, is known for acting, you know, breaking all the rules, you know, to prove his transcendence. Even he, what did he do? He traveled around, going to different holy places, and apparently purifying his own self. His self is not ordinary self. He is the super self. But still he went through that. Therefore we see that how the principle of Krishna consciousness are so deep. Extremely deep. And when we study very carefully, making ourselves as a criminal all the time. Like Radhanath Maharaj would tell about one of Prabhupada's god brother. Somebody offended him, and when they went to beg forgiveness from him, it is one thing to say, I forgive you. That's arrogance. If somebody says, I forgive you for your offenses, that means I am right and he is wrong. But this devotee, when somebody went and begged forgiveness from him, he said, how can you offend a criminal? I am a criminal. He took it another way. You know, he, rather than saying yes, and yes, that party had offended this god brother of Prabhupada, and he had all the right to say, at least now you have come to save yourself by begging forgiveness. But rather than saying that, he continued to remain as a practicing devotee, a sadhaka, and he said, how can you offend a criminal? I am a criminal. You cannot offend criminal. You know, Maharaj always tell this story, and he was telling one time to Jayadvaita Maharaj, and one Sunday feast, Jayadvaita Maharaj said, that means Vaishnava. He said, becoming Vaishnava is not an ordinary thing. Therefore, we don't take shelter of Krishna, the process of Krishna consciousness, to avoid, to escape whatever sinful activities we have done, whatever responsibility I have given up. Oh, I have given up this responsibility by taking shelter of Krishna, then there will be no reaction. If that is the attitude, then does not fall into the category of bhakti. The attitude is, in fact, as we progress in bhakti, whatever responsibility we have not fulfilled, we will regret. As Mahaprabhu, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see, when he was in the highest ecstasy, he is called as Matra Bhakta Shiromani, a very interesting one. Kaviraj Goswami glorifies Lord Chaitanya as the devotee, the best devotee of mothers. And what was his attitude? That I did not take care of you. I did not serve you. He doesn't need to. You know, he is the Supreme Lord. He came to establish certain principles. But still, what is the consciousness? I did not take care of you. Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjun, were forced by the Lord, evident in the scriptures, that you fight. You help me establish dharma. And they didn't want to. There was no selfishness in the heart of the Pandavas. They fought the war, being totally detached from the facilities of winning the war. And what is the proof? The proof is when Krishna left, they also gave up everything. But when the war was over, what did the Pandavas say? He said, we are so criminals. We were responsible for the death of millions of people. Even though Duryodhana was responsible. They are willing to take all the responsibility of the violence on the battlefield, which was Duryodhana was responsible, but they said, we are responsible. And they wanted to rectify their mistake, even though they did not make any mistake. If devotees like Pandavas, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes as a devotee, if they have that mood, and like Srila Prabhupada also, when he was departing, he begged forgiveness from his god brothers. In the fourth canto, he writes, he said, one is about to leave his body, you know, if he does not make up with everybody, all his offenses, if he does not do that, that shows he never understood what bhakti is. Therefore, rather than always feeling, you know, by taking bhakti, you know, I did this mistake, I did that mistake, and I have escaped it all because I chant Hare Krishna. Then we can't enjoy chanting Hare Krishna. We never get purified by chanting Hare Krishna. But rather by chanting Hare Krishna, we become more and more aware of so many responsibilities which you are not fulfilled. And that increases our guilt. And that increases our taking shelter of Vishnu. Not to avoid this, but rather saying that I am sinful. I am more sinful, therefore I need greater shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. And that is sadhana bhakti, and that's what we see in the first canto, that's what we see in the third canto, that's what we see in the, you know, Prithu Maharaj's, Dhruva Maharaj's story, and that's what we see in the fifth canto also, we see in the sixth canto, Ajamil, when he chanted the names of Lord Narayan accidentally, that is important part of the story to prove the power of the holy name. But the next part of the story is, what did Ajamil do? He repented by performing tapasya for 12 years. He was not taken immediately back to the spiritual world. He went through the rigorous tapasya, and you can imagine how much regret, how much he must have regretted, how much repentance he must have developed. Similarly, Chitraketu Maharaj, when he became Vritrasur, you know, he was very eager to go back to Godhead, but not at the cost of not fulfilling. He told Indra, Indra, fight with me, I am a demon, and therefore I need to do my duty. I know I will not win, because you have Lord Vishnu on your side, but I cannot give up my duty as a demon. But in doing that, physically he was a demon, from the physical body point of view, but internally he was a great devotee. Therefore Prabhupada writes, that actually who was a devotee in this case? Indra or Chitraketu or Vritrasura? Because Vritrasura's consciousness was very deep and very powerful. Therefore, Krishna consciousness means what? Not simply ritualistically, you know, trying to go through the process of bhakti. Because the most important ingredient in bhakti is our heart. In all other processes, you don't need to offer your heart. You need to do the procedures rightly. It's like forcing the material nature to provide or to escape whatever we have done. You don't need to put your heart. But in the process of bhakti, more than the ingredient, whether you have the ingredient, you don't have the ingredient. Whether you have the resources, you don't have the resources. The most important ingredient is the chitta, the heart, the repentant heart, the heart which is aware of one sinful activity, the heart which is continuously regretting, the heart which is continuously rectifying, the heart which is longing to be reunited with Krishna. So these four factors, what constitutes bhakti, and the process becomes detailed. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Comment.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. You were discussing about this Vritrasura's situation where at heart he was feeling regret, and externally as a physical, whatever position as a demon he had, he was performing his duty. He continued to perform his duty. So you're performing a duty which is contrary to the feelings that you have inside. Isn't this hypocrisy and hypocritical behavior? How do you and you continue to perform that act, though you continue to feel regret?
Again, just see, in an ordinary sense, it could be called as hypocrisy. But if you see again, that's what Krishna is so kind and very understanding. In the Bhagavatam 11th canto, he explains, you know, as a living entity, we have a material body, and material body is infested with material consciousness and many obstacles for practicing devotional service. And the Lord understands that. Just like, you know, somebody born in certain background, he is forced by that body. You know, body is in one sense acting independent of the desires of the soul, because that body is there. So therefore, the body is forcing him to do something, but his soul is forcing him to do something else. And Krishna understands that. And therefore, Prabhupada, in one place, he talked about one family. He said they were great devotees, but sometimes they would visit prostitutes. It's a very contradictory. How could be someone a great devotee and do all that? Or we read in the Bhagavatam, kings, they have naturally inclined for hunting. Hunting animals and opposite sex. Now they have that kind of body which is given by, which is acquired by their own karma. But at the same time internally they are regretting very much. They are not propagating, you know, it's okay. As long as they have this body, you enjoy. That is their own struggle. And they want to get out of that body, but they can't commit suicide also. So therefore, Krishna doesn't consider that to be hypocrisy. If you propagate, no, this is okay. You know, you have this body, you enjoy. No, Krishna will take care of it. Now, what is his consciousness? Maharaj Vritrasu's consciousness was, he was eager to fight because he had a body which was a body of a demon. He was helpless. Like in very interesting point in the Ramayana also, when Vibhishan came in front of Kumbhakarna. If you study Kumbhakarna's character in Ramayana, it's quite amazing. You know, the demonic body was forcing him to act ignorantly and violently. But when Vibhishan came in his presence, he said, "Come on, get out of my presence." He said, "You are the one who have done the right decision of taking shelter of Ram. But because I'm losing discrimination being a demon," he said, "I might kill you also. So therefore get out of my place so that you can perform last rites for us." So he was aware that what Vibhishan has done is right, but at the same time he was not able to do it because he was too much absorbed in his body. So therefore, you know, in many cases it might happen, we might see someone who is so much conditioned to his material body, and in the core of his heart there is some element of Krishna consciousness. So calling them as hypocrites, you know, pakhandi, when we can elevate their consciousness, then Krishna can see us also from a different perspective. That's a very, when I read that, it was very hope giving, Chitraketu Maharaj's place. But if somebody takes, you know, again, if somebody reads this part in the Bhagavatam and says, you know, I'm also like Vritrasa, that is hypocrisy. No, you have no right to take an example from the Shastra and portray your own picture there. You know, I'm also like this. I'm like Vritrasura only. No, I'm attached to doing this thing. Like somebody told when in Nivrindavan, I think when Prabhupada told, okay, let us protect our people when the attack happened. And some devotees were made securities. They had a license. You know, they were moving around with weapons. And after some time, a devotee wrote to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, since I'm doing a duty of a Kshatriya, you know, I need to marry more women." No? So he's thinking he's a Kshatriya. Where are Kshatriyas in Kali Yuga? So Prabhupada chastised him. You know, he was misusing the service which was given to him for sense enjoyment. Very subtle. You cannot use the example of the Shastra. Wherever you increase your sense enjoyment, quoting Shastra, that's a height of hypocrisy. If you use the example of Shastra to increase your spiritual life, increase your dedication to Krishna, that is allowed. But if you use it for wrong purpose, the regret has to be there. We don't know what was the heart of Chitraketu. Of course we read, his heart was fully absorbed in Vishnu. He was eager to go back to Godhead, but the body was there. And he can't commit suicide. The body had to be functioning as whatever is supposed to function. And the fight was inevitable with Indra. And he fought. That means his position was extremely helpless from the bodily platform. But from the spiritual platform, he wanted to transcend it. And Indra killing him, he welcomed it with great pleasure. And then he went back to Godhead. This is such a subtle understanding is there. And how, you know, sometime, therefore, you know, I think who was that? Somebody was One devotee, one American devotee was looking at Nityananda. They said, just see your body, meant for not enjoyment only. Huh? What can you enjoy this body? He said, your body, the Indian body, he was saying, is made in such a way, it is not meant for enjoyment. It is meant for tapasya only. It's just, see, we are so unfortunate. So he was aware that devotional service has to be performed, but my body is so bad, it forces towards sense gratification. And that, as a devotee, we have to be aware. Not everybody is made same. A kshatriya requires much greater facility. And therefore, Shastradar, like Shastradar mother, Shastradar considered as mother. A mother is very much understand the needs of different children. A kshatriya has a different rule. Sometimes you read in the Shastra, I know, the kshatriya, great kings would eat flesh. And immediately we devotees say, oh, come on, how can they do it? They are not following the four regulative principle. No, for them, eating flesh is okay. If Krishna is okay with you, what's my problem? The four regulative principle is for me to follow. For a kshatriyas in those days, they had that facility. Okay, you can do it. Because what kind of responsibility is taking? So much of responsibility is taking, and that responsibility naturally leads to mode of passion. And mode of passion means you need some enjoyment. So the mode of enjoyment gives some enjoyment. Like Lord Ram, again, you know, he was Eka Patni Vratadhara. He, Kaikai, when Bharat came and asked, why did Ram has been banished to forest? Is it that he looked at some other woman with ill motivation? Kaikai says, no way. He said, Ram never even raises the eyebrows. He never looks at any other woman. But when he killed Vali, what did he tell Sugriv? You see, that shows the magnanimity and understanding of others' situation. Ram could have told Vali, your brother is killed because of too much of sense gratification. Better you don't perform sense gratification. If the monkey Sugriv, he will perform sense gratification. And he was fasting from sense gratification by force because his wife was stolen by Vali. So Ram said, okay, you marry Ruma as your wife and you accept Tara also as your wife. Very strange, but that's the reality in the Ramayana. Knowing very well that Sugriv is not, he cannot practice what he is practicing. And if Tara is not given to Sugriv, she will be exploited by the other monkeys. Being aware of that situation, accordingly, Ram giving that order to. And what is the difference between Tali and Vali and Tara, Vali and Sugriv then? No, one is Vali had kidnapped Sugriv's wife. Now here Vali is dead and she is unsheltered. So better, rather than being unsheltered, you know, let her become the property of Sugriv. And Sugriv, even though he knew Ram is Eka Patni Vratadhara, he did not feel, you know, I can't accept it, I want to follow your rule. He cannot follow his rule. He need more sense gratification, and Ram allowed him that sense gratification. And when Lakshman came, the entire story, when he came there, you know, not only they did not welcome Lakshman properly, they were pelting stones, all the monkeys, you know, they made him more angry. But ultimately, Hanumanji warned Sugriv. So Sugriv pushed Tara, you go, and tried to pacify Lakshman. So when Lakshman had to confront Tara, you know, she was dressed very badly, not a cultured woman. You know, she was drunk, she was rolling back and forth, and she straight face to Lakshman. You know, just coming face, embarrassing Lakshman. And when Lakshman chastised, she said, come on, Vishwamitra Muni couldn't handle sense gratification. What to speak of this monkey? He said, come on, forgive him. So immediately Lakshman forgave. So our entire Vedic system is to see every individual differently. What is that individual's need? If everything is seen from a collective point of view, that could be very violent for that personality. It is not a blanket. It is very individualistic. So Lakshman, who was practicing such vrata, when Vali's wife, Sugriv's wife came, she was in one sense from a strictest point of view, she was unchaste. Husband is dead. You know, she is enjoying fully, she is drunk, and she is coming and she is talking shamelessly also to Lakshman. After all, you know, what do you expect of this monkey? And Lakshman understood and he forgave Sugriva. Very beautiful. Therefore, seeing from a very individualistic point of view is what the Vedic culture is. It is not based upon if I behave with this person, what the other society will consider. As a leader, if you have to take a decision about one person, you take decision based upon his requirements only. It doesn't matter about the society. Because in those times the society was very, very close. You know, the rules were, therefore the society was separated. The Brahmanas would live here, the Kshatriyas would live here, the Vaishyas would live here. Because the Brahmanas' lifestyle cannot be practiced by Kshatriya. And Kshatriya's life should not influence the Brahmana's lifestyle. Nowadays, unfortunately, you know, we see in the whole educational system, no, people are not same. They have not come with same intelligence. If you are not good at maths, you may be good at arts. But if you are not good at maths, what the maths teacher will tell you, you are dull-headed. That's such a violence. That means your entire judgment is based upon, you know, the requirement of the teacher, not the requirement of the student. Therefore, this violent society is more rigid than the spiritual society. Even though they call, you know, how spiritual world, the spirituality, the religion is so rigid. No, it's not rigid. It is more liberal, it is more individualistic than the modern society. Modern society is extremely rigid. Like somebody is not enjoying sense gratification, he'll be condemned. If somebody is trying to follow strict rules of Shastra, he'll be condemned. Hey, why? Society is doing it. Why are you doing like that? That means there is no facility for that individual to practice what he is practicing. He is forced to practice what the society is practicing. But in the olden time, you know, you could be doing whatever you want to do and you could be least affected by the surrounding society. Therefore, Vibhishan could survive till almost end. Only at the last part of his life he came to Lord Ram. But he was continuing to practice, you know, devotional service because that individualistic facility was facilitated. Therefore, if you study carefully, you know, absolutely brilliantly magnanimous and at the same time facilitating one's progress, seeing where do you stand and how you could progress from your level. So therefore, there is no question of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is only hypocrisy when if I use, Vritrasur was able to do both. So my consciousness, sometimes people say, no, after all, no, what is important is my heart. But the heart is also not there. And I'm chanting all the time. Sometimes people say, why do you chant on the beats? Hum toh hamesha karte rehte. Somebody made this experiment also. They gave counter, they said, if you're always chanting, you know, a counter does not bother you. You know, count how many times you chanted in a day. And he realized he only chanted 5 times, and that too because the counter was there in the hand. Sometime he was remembering, oh, I have got the counter, therefore I need to chant. Otherwise, chanting all the time with this material body is not possible. Therefore, there is a discipline. At least 2 hours. And within that 2 hours also, we have so much of distraction. So rather than seeing it as a hypocritical behavior, we should see how Krishna is so kind, Shastras are so kind. You know, allowing, okay, this is what you are. Don't superimpose your personality on the Shastric personalities. You allow their, you know, situation, their time, their circumstance and judge based on that. It's very interesting when we read the purports, 6th canto. It is not at all contradictory. It is from whose perspective it has been seen. If you see from Parvati's perspective, Chitraketu made mistake. If you see from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's point of view, it was Krishna's arrangement. So which is the real? Both are real. Hare Krishna. I hope. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.